Raise one hand, let's sing together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive a curiosity of wisdom found in your Son alone. We believe and receive accuracy in listening and in insight in this service. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We have been looking at premarital, marital, and postmarital relationship. I'm sure I have not rounded off today. We will definitely continue. Matthew's Gospel 28. Just before you say I do, finish up for me. Let's start again. Just before you say I do, let's do it again. Let's start again. Let's start again. Just before, after you say you have do. Is that what you said? When you are and finish it. What are you doing, self? What are you doing, Gunga? Alright, Matthew's Gospel 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which is the world power given in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, I said this in the earlier services, that what does this mean to your relationships? Whether your friends, because I said it is your friend that becomes your boyfriend, right? Or your girlfriend, right? So what does this mean to your friendships? You don't value this, that Jesus values, either in your life, and in the lives of your friends, or your friends value them in your life as well, then it soon become an issue in relationships. So this must be important in my relationships, because in this particular service, we want to look at how important is my spiritual life. We've been talking about marriage a lot. What do I do? Who do I choose? How do I choose? And all that. But how important is my spiritual life? So we're saying here that how important is this, what we call the Great Commission, in our lives, then in our relationships. I remember one toasting line. It's a toasting line. I told you every toasting line is righteous. Is that okay? You can quote me. Every toasting line, you make me feel like the Holy Spirit, something like that. It's good. The Holy Spirit is just, you are blessed. You know, we are the toasting line. You approach a sister, you say, then let me give you the whole line. Let me be part of it. I can see that we can partner together to fulfill God's will together in the earth today. I see in you someone to partner with me to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ in my life. So we should say that until we ask a question, why her? Well, you know, so it's not just about partnering in the ministry, even though partnering in the ministry is important, it has to be. Okay, that's just by the way. So this should be important to you and to the relationships that you keep. Mark's Gospel 16:15. Go therefore into all the world, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons, shall speak with new tongues, shall take up serpents. If you think they are dead, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. And after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Like we have said, and I'm going to say it again, marriage is not a destination. Just like the wedding ceremony is not the destiny. Marriage is a journey that you take everywhere. And so this is one of the things involved in that journey, to go, therefore, and preach the gospel together. The purpose of marriage is so multi-dimensional. It has spiritual implications in partnership. It has emotional implications, financial implications. It has sexual implications. It has fellowship implications, life's implications generally. And those are critical moments you need to view in the concept of marriage. And this is one of them, to preach the gospel together, but not alone. In Luke's Gospel 24 and 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we said, therefore we need to also look through the Old Testament and see the background of the conversation of marriage in the New Testament. The context of the New Testament will always be the Old Testament, including the subject of marriage. Verse 44, then he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened you their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So we also must reason along with the scriptures as touching the concept of marriage. Now the scriptures here refers to the Old Testament. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now going back to Luke 24:47, I didn't quote that. I said repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the Great Commission, the call to God, to the gospel, is a core part of our relationships. So let me just review a few things we said in the earlier services. We looked at the concept of being married and unmarried, and I showed you that they are verbs, which means it's actions that people take. A man can act not to be married, and a man can act to be married. A woman can act not to be married and act to be married. They are verbs, which means they're within the sphere of human choices. So we also saw that in marriage, unlike I mentioned earlier, the patriarchal system of thinking where it's about what the man does, what the woman should not do. Paul equates it by saying, when a man is married, he must please his wife. When a woman is married, she must please her husband. That's quite a balance. 1 Corinthians 7, where you have an exhaustive conversation on premarital issues, postmarital issues, and marital issues. It discusses the concept of sex, discusses the concept of mutual, as it were, cooperation in the marital institution. And that was because they asked him a question. So we said, discipleship involves question and answers. I was asked a question, then I'm answering it. So we said, yes, the couple must learn to please each other. And therefore, Paul wants in 1 Corinthians 7, I'm just reviewing something I said earlier, that there is a distraction that you will notice. Which means that as you please the Lord, you please your husband or your wife. 1 Corinthians 7. It's not saying that those who are married can't please the Lord, but they can't please the Lord only. Okay? They have to please the Lord, and then they please the spouses. So, which is why he says in verse 35, he said, I'm not trying to put a snare on you, was comely, but that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And he uses the background of Martha and Mary to say this. So which means I must get ready, to please the Lord and please my spouse. And pleasing my spouse also is pleasing the Lord. So we talked about courtship. Premarital times, you meet a man and you like each other, okay? And you feel, we prayed about it as believers. And you feel led to go ahead with this brother or this sister. into a premarital relationship, which means you must tell yourself, what are we doing, Gaga? Why is it me alone that you are having these Holy Ghost meetings with all the time? Why am I the one you are always following on to check on what I heard in the service? Am I the only person in the service? You know, or God, tell me what exactly is on your mind. No, I'm just the love of the Lord. I know. I might be the Lord in this instance. So when we have cleared all those, as it were, landmines, and we're set, and then we begin to, what therefore is courtship? I mentioned earlier, there's no Bible time for courtship. They're just instructions to the unmarried, to the young man, young woman, flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. Evil communication calls, good manners, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 16. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:13 and 18. Find a wife, you found a good thing, Proverbs 18:22. Don't use beauty and charm as a parameter, Proverbs 31:30. A man should leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, Genesis 2:24, and Matthew 19:5. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Those are things you must consider very well. Whatever you do, please the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. We saw that in the first service. And also, Proverbs 6:20. I may not be able to read all of this, but I'm going to ask you to read them. I'll just pick some pockets of text, and then you read them as you get home or where you are alone. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of your mother. Then he goes on, verse 24. Keep thee from the evil woman, of the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after beauty in your heart, neither let her take thee with thy eyelids. Is that very literal? Alright, and by means of a whorish woman, the man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes will not burn? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not burn? And so he goes on and gives counsel to a young man who also is seeking to have a relationship to marry. And then he says in 10, chapter 7, behold, there met him a woman with an attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she's without, now in the streets, and lies awaiting in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I peace offering to thee today, I paid my vow. So basically just an instruction till verse 27 for a single young man that Solomon adopts here to advise and give counsel. Somebody should advise, Solomon should know. Amen. So you take some time and read through that. One other text I'm trying to look at for a minute. Second Solomon 2:7, just also add that. So you have all that. You know, we said in the second service, Peter also adds the fact that when you are married, which can also come in as a premarital instruction, learn to know people gradually and progressively. We looked at the word gnosis that he used, and to dwell together, sunokio, 1 Peter 3:7, which has to do with build a home together. And I said this, you must pay good attention to it, that the building of the home is primarily the two parties, and then, you know, it's what they build that the children, or let's say family as well, that they come to enjoy and benefit from. So do not use a man to have children. Don't use a woman to just have children. It must be primarily to build a home. The brother must be home to you. The sister must be home to you. I'm not asking you to be homeless before you get married. I'm just saying the person, not that, you know, pastor has said it's home. I don't have a house. Let me come and stay with you. That's not what we're saying. Home, in the sense of both of you are building a home together. That word will kill. And so we emphasize a few things as well. In fact, somebody misheard this one when I was taking questions. And we said, you can't change a man because you love him. And I said, ask God. God loves you, but that's not enough to change you, right? What changes you is you to love God, right? So loving someone, and I love you, and I, you know, I put everything together. And somebody said, you know, this is a very funny joke, really, but it looked a bit real in its application, that usually people receive the I do, usually the woman, and then the man gives a ring, it's done today. Some people hire an helicopter to ride, will you marry me on sand? Some would, all sorts of things are now done. And so everybody wants to beat the other person at it. And but you see, don't start your life in drama. It's useless. Just simply sit the person down, ask a simple question. We'll be friends for a while. It's obvious to you that I like you. Do you like me? Do you think both of us can make it simple? You know, don't play a song in the background, bring out a ring, and your friends are like, look, 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 look. See. Netflix can take you. But that's not real life. Okay? Sometimes you just prepare for all the drama and you know all of that, and you know, your friends invite you to cinema, they shut the light, they say, ah, so, oh. Though some guys, in spite of all that, they get nailed, it can happen. You know, but now the guy said something that was very interesting. He said, the lady just says, I do. But she hasn't asked him, will you also marry me? I thought that's true. So eventually the guy, you know, breaks the commitment. And he says, but I didn't make any commitment. You made the commitment. You said, I do. I didn't say I was done. That's not something to think about, so that you don't overplay the drama. So we said, you can't change a man because you love him. And I said, ask God. Alright? A man changes himself because he loves you. A woman changes herself because we love. You know, there are things we do for love. Can I have an amen? Amen. Some of you are in this church because of love. Oh, come on. I know you face your notes squarely, right, at this point. It's alright. You are here because of love. And love is a beautiful thing. That love has made you love God. Amen. Some have left this church because of love. Yeah, I know, because it does happen. Two people are in a relationship and it breaks up. Then they can't see each other again. One has told me, I want to relocate from this. I'll go to any other sense community church but this one. So I just can't stay in the same place with him. I said, relax. I said, I did all the teaching of walking in love. She just looked at me, Pastor, it's noise. I heard the brother too. He didn't even wait. Quickly, I seen another sister. While I was trying to counsel the sister about waiting upon the Lord, the brother has flown like an eagle. I said, ah, there's a sister. I said, ha. She said she's looking for any sense community. Now she'll go to a mosque the way you are behaving. I said, hold on. I said, okay, sir. Okay, sir. And the brother now asked, can I be talking to the sister closely? I said, ah, oh, God. My heart goes jiggy 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 bang bam. And that's how love is, you know, it's a feeling that someone defines love, say, it's a feeling that you never felt that you feel and feel. But that's just what it is. And you have butterflies in your stomach. Like I said, when you discover butterflies in your stomach, you see a doctor. Because they are in the wrong place. Anyway, so the point is, you don't change people because you love them. You love people despite and in spite of them. That's what it is. It's not meant to. And the concept that I will change you. You know, you better start singing, I will love you from everlasting. Everlasting. Even the unchangeable changer has not changed you like he wants it. So don't think you are an unchangeable changer. So we said a couple of things. I want to repeat some things I said. Do not go into a relationship to marry, to heal an emotion. You are going to wreck the other person. Everybody has their own imperfections. No one is a master over your emotions. Solve it by the word. Ensure you deal with that. Don't do that. Don't use a man for rebound. You know what a rebound is? A rebound is someone walks out on you and someone, I mean, remember this very strange story. A brother, like a sister like that, you know, a brother left her practically hanging. It's a story that, when I remember, it looks like a joke. The brother, interestingly, reverend gentleman, as is meant to be, they fixed a wedding date, the introduction date, they waited and waited, and the man did not come. And the family was so influential that they had erased his street. You know what that is in Yoruba? They closed the whole street, you know, the canopies, the whole thing was buzzing, bad, bad, bad. The brother did not come, his family did not come. So the sister, you know, had depression. And so what the family did was funny. They said, let's just quickly get her a brother. So they got her a brother, because the brother is supposed to be like a semi-finalist who could not make the final. You know, and I wanted to say something else, but not this service. So the brother came into the picture, and I and a friend started saying, this doesn't look good. Of course, filled up the gap, of course. And within a year, the marriage packed up. Because it's a rebound, that's what it is. And you should have allowed her to heal up, be whole as a person, and learn to do without before you can do with. That's important. Marriage is not supposed to be something you do because you are needy. I need you, darling, I need you. Every hour I need you. You know, it doesn't work like that. Even God is ever present. We don't talk to him all the time. So how do you want to talk to somebody all the time? So you must resolve that. There are many things that marriage will not handle. Marriage doesn't cure your loneliness. You remain as lonely as you have been. And we also said you mustn't build relationship on suspicion. And there are so many of us who have been learning that crap on social media, recording people's conversations, munching their chats, you know, and stuff like that. If you're going to have to be doing that, stay off that relationship. Yeah, that's too heavy an emotional baggage for you. You don't need to do that. If you have to be doing that, that means you have a problem yourself. We said that's one. Two, don't threaten people's relationships. Don't threaten. Don't use threats to hold a relationship. Don't do that. Do not also do rebound. I mentioned that. Don't manipulate and control and torture. And there are people who have married others by use of money, by use of, you know, different influences. Sometimes even using scripture. Don't manipulate. Don't control. Don't torture people that you claim to love. If you love people, let them be comfortable with you, around you. Of course, to grow up, to be nurtured spiritually and emotionally and mentally. Not that they are around you and they are, you know, practically sitting and standing on eggshells. Make it almost impossible for someone to act and do drama around you. What do I mean? I mentioned something earlier about surrounding yourselves with faith and love. Remove condemnation from your relationships. And do not be, you see, some of us live with a book of remembrance. You can recall things that happened in hell when Jesus went there. You can record anything to be right in your head. Your memory is so strong. You won't remember God's word though. It's not to remember the souls that you won last week. You won't even remember their names. But when it comes to remember that day, can you remember how you spoke to me? Like 4 p.m. 4 p.m. 46 seconds. In fact, as you were speaking, a cock passed across. I saw that black. Oh God. The devil will learn from you. So, you know, you don't do that. You know, you must make your relationship home. Something that is comfortable. You know, and I said this earlier, that home is where you take off your jacket. Home is where you are free. Home is where it's not where to commit sin. Don't forget that. But it's just where you are home. You know, and so there mustn't be drama there again. And we said, cut off all the Nollywood and Hollywood thing. It's not real. It's not real. Amen. Super Ted is not real. Sporty is not real. Voltron is not real. Avengers is not real. Amen. Titanic is not real. The movie. Amen. It's not real. Alright. The Spy Who Loved Me is not real. James Bond is not real. Right? They are not real things. A gentleman opened the door for a woman. It does happen. Okay? But if you are married to me, expect me to open the door for you. I won't. I trust that you know where the knob is and you should open it yourself. But if you are looking for support, right? Commitment, you're looking for, that's what you look out for, not all those ephemeral rubbish. You know, that are usually done to just hunt an animal. And when you get the animal, that's all. It's in your cage. So, you know, be real. Is that clear? Alright. Then I also mentioned the social media. Be careful not to be social media crazy. I would do this as an advice for you as your pastor. When someone likes to put everything on WhatsApp status, one day you will be the guest attraction. You'll be the guest on that show. So ensure you take your private things off the media. It's meant to be a private life. Is that clear? Take it off the media. Happy couples are not necessarily those that you see pretending to kiss one another on social media. After all, actors act kissing and they are not real. So, you know, all those things really don't matter. Just ensure that it's real and a real home has been built in what you are doing. I read a quote to us earlier. And this is from Sajid. I tell young people who feel intensely the social pressure about the right time. It's not much about the right time, but the right person. And that's when you look out for the right person. The right person is not a perfect person, but a person whose imperfection is perfect enough for you. And I also mentioned, don't make a trend of making girlfriends and boyfriends. And you have a huge turnover of boyfriends and girlfriends. 2 years ago, it was Jide. Just after that, I had Paul. I didn't even plan to until John came. When I joined church, without knowing, Peter also, because we're in the same study group, amen? He loved me, but somehow it didn't work out. Eventually, as everything was just moving on, doing my WCC, a chariot member by the name of James also fell along. We tried to work it out. Okay, what's going on? I mean, are you into a sort of friendship marketing or should I say digital marketing? What do you call that? Multi-level marketing. So the more boyfriends you get or the more girlfriends you get, then they give you something at the end of the day. You have a medal. The medal is called Veteran. You don't need all of that because at the end of the day, you're going to gather a lot of crap. And sometimes, you know, I've had times to sit with couples and discover that they carried with them baggages of former relationships into that relationship. And, you know, the man that is now the, what do I call him now? He can't be mediator. He has to, Jesus is the heir. Yeah. He becomes the heir of all things. He inherits you and Peter, you and Jane. She inherits you and Jane. She inherits you and Bola. Inherits everybody, and then, you know, that's too much for a joint heir. You know, try and be limited. Amen? I have an amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Alright, so you know that, and we said earlier that things take time. Ingredients of relationship includes respect, trust, and care. I must mention this. One thing that particularly husbands, and I'm going to say this is both ways, that you always love, is when you, their spouse, whether you are married now or you're about to get married, when you show more honor and respect to them than other people, it's priceless. Despite the fact that, you know, they are at home with you, transparent with you, but the level of honor, respect that you have, you know, nothing keeps a relationship like respect. Respect is not kneeling down and bowing down, no. It's to really regard someone. It's priceless. It's priceless. It's not sex. You know, people forget sex easily. I hope you know. You know, but when you are respected, honored, treated well, helped, it's priceless. It also, you know, makes whatever sexual life you have enhanced. And so that's critical in how we think. So we said that when people are married 50, 60 years, it's a lot of compromise has gone in. A lot of forgiveness, look away, you know. Trying to monitor somebody doesn't mean that you are going to keep him or her. Doesn't work. Trying to control doesn't work. It's a whole lot of commitment, sacrifice, respect, mutual, anyway, both ways. And when I talk like this, I'm not just talking to the woman towards the man. Don't get it wrong, it's both ways. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? We saw how Peter said and Paul said it's both ways. Okay. Having a need is not love. Abuse is not love. Control is not love. I mentioned all of that earlier. And desperation is not love. And don't get into a relationship to be happy. Be a happy person, okay? Who contributes your happiness to that relationship. I also said that relationship is like an empty vessel, an empty car, an empty can. It comes empty. It's whatever you put in that you are going to find there. If you have not put respect, compassion, affection, commitment, values there, you are not going to find it. There's nothing new, it's just a relationship. Marriage is just a relationship. It now depends on how you work it out. So I also mentioned the evil of comparison, just going back to what I shared earlier, the evil of comparison, comparing yourself to one another, not even with your parents, don't do it. Just, this is you and I. And so we're going to talk about this later in this service. Don't bring in third parties. A third party can be your past. A third party can be your parents. A third party can be your friends and how they do what they do. Or some stupid advice on social media. Particularly what they call the influencers. They just raise any issues, they make it trend, and then it begins to trend also in your head. So they begin to live in your head rent-free. And you are responding to things stupidly. So ensure that you don't bring a third party. So we said communication is key. Do not excommunicate each other. Ensure you talk. It's not talking every day that brings closeness or affection. No. It's talking and communicating clearly. You can talk to people every day and the communication is not clear. Get it? But where the communication is without offense, without hypocrisy, without condemnations, full of grace, then you can get exactly what you want. Do not manipulate people to love you. It's the greatest slavery you can put yourself in. Don't become a slave of your own emotions. Let it be free flowing. Don't use money. Don't use attention. Don't use anything. Just use you. You without drama will make it a real life. So we said communication is not murmuring. Don't murmur. Murmuring is a sin. Is that clear? Is that clear? Oh. But Solomon said, a nagging woman, yeah, it's better you stayed in the top of a roof. Oh. There's one brother like that in Faith Family Fellowship we used to call, so real family, we used to call, he answers by murmuring. Anything, you don't know. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from. Some folks are just like that. They like to murmur. If you are not careful, this is without apologies, you might pick some of these things from your parents, where you actually act out what they did. Usually, we reproduce the things we don't like in our parents because that's all we saw. Usually. So there's a whole lot of reformation, transformation that should come to your mind. Whatever you see so often, listen to so often, becomes your values unconsciously. It's not a generational curse. It's just because that's all you saw. You never detoxed. Sometimes it's like you are even on your mom's side against your dad all the time. You sided your mom, but unconsciously you have imbibed the spirit of a complaining wife. And when you get married, unconsciously, that's exactly what you are also going to do. Because that was all that you saw. Same thing as a husband. You start using general words like women are you women, and seeing women as, you know, spare tires. That's just something you saw. Even though you didn't like it, you said, no, the 21st century is different, daddy, blah, blah, blah. Because that was all you saw. You're likely going to reproduce the same thing. Sin works with influence. So, murmuring is not communication, grumbling is not communication. They are sins. Bible says, do all things without murmuring, Philippians 2:14-15. That must be your conduct. Don't use body language. Imagine if God used body language for us, we are going to be in trouble. Don't use body language. Like a friend said, you know, body language will soon become body odor. Ensure that you talk. Is that clear? Talk. Some of you say, I don't talk like that. Well, when you talk, I wish you were talking. Alright? So we said also, murmuring is a sin. Also use the right words. Don't give lovely prophecies in church. The evil prophecies at home. Wildly. In church you say, oh, third up, oh, and I see the light shining. Glory, glory. But when you get home, you will see what will happen to you. So you are like a two-faced person. When you get to the home, be positive. Ephesians 4:28 says, let your speech be seasoned. Alright? Build up, edify. Do not get angry and sin. Ephesians 4:26. These are not things you apply in follow-up alone. Do it in your home. Do it in your relationships. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So let's walk on fellowship. Quickly. So how important is my spiritual life? I said that deliberately because everything about you is your spiritual life though. How important is my spiritual life? Or how important is the spiritual life of my partner, my husband, and my spouse? Now, you know, I said something earlier, that's the second service, that home must be where you're free, you can let down your hair and all that. But home is not also supposed to be where you build carnality. And, you know, you start to get different influences that aren't in the Word of God. So that's what we said, what are you doing? Now, the Bible is set in something important. The very first sin, or archetype of sin, as I've taught you, Romans 5:12 says sin entered into the world through one man, Romans 5:12, a Sekomai. But when you go to Genesis 3, you find it happens through a marriage. So which means a marriage can make or mar things. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Please turn there quickly. Man is a product of influence. What did I say? Raise your voice and say, I am a product of influence. Say again, I'm a product of influence. So let's see how important that is. 1 Timothy 2 and 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Exapatao. Exapatao. So we found out that, yes, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Watch this very well. And through one man, sin entered into the world. So which means that that relationship is important. You must check out the spiritual life of your partner. It will come back at you. People today have become what they never imagined they would become, spiritually speaking, because they never paid attention to the people they were loving or the people that were loving them. So, pay very good attention. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, husband and wife. It was Genesis 16, verse 1 to 4. It was Sarah that asked Abraham to have a wife who was an Egyptian and bore him a child, which Paul calls the works of the flesh in Galatians 4. It was the wife. Or Rebekah. Rebekah was Isaac's wife, Genesis 25, 22 and 23, who knew by the Spirit, pay very good attention here, that one will serve the other. It will be the elder that will serve the younger, Genesis 25. So when you see this happening through couples, then know who you are coupling with. Genesis 25 and 23. Okay, so she saw the vision. There were two nations in her, 22 and 23. So go to Genesis 27. When she knew the father of the children, Jacob was going to bless, Isaac was going to bless Esau. Look at what she did. Usually this role is played down. You know, the first thing is that she saw the vision. Then that's in Genesis 25. Same place you find Esau dispatches Bertha. But notice the role Rebekah played. Rebekah apparently, because she had the vision, she knew it's Jacob, not Esau. So what role did she do? In 26, she called Jacob her son. Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, and I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, verse 8, please look at this, obey my voice, according to that which I commanded. Obviously, she's being emotional here. Knowing fully well the blessing ought to be Jacob's, from what she saw in the womb, from what she saw in the vision, she tried to play it out in flesh. We usually just hold Jacob as responsible alone, but no, it was actually the mother. And follow it through. Now, in verse 9, she said, go now, fetch me two good kids. She knew the dad well. I will make savory meat for thy father as he loves. She knows exactly what the man loves. And I'll bring it to thy father, he may eat and bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, behold, mom, Esau, my brother is hairy. I am his smooth man. And my father, peradventure, will fill me and I'll deem to him a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So you could see his heart. But look at what the mom said. Upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. So she went, she cooked for him. She was actually the one who cooked the meal. Verse 15 and 16, she was the one who gave him the garment to wear. Are you following? Verse 16, she put it upon him. She practically made him do it. Of course, keep reading. There he's blessed and all of that. Then in verse 41, through to 42, where Esau said in his heart, I'm going to kill my brother. And these words of Esau, our elder son, verse 42, were told to Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob again as younger son. And said, behold, a brother Esau has touching thee, doth comfort himself, supposing to kill you. Therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Iran. And tarry with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away. So you see that she played a role here actively. Now, whether it's positive or negative, now it's a final day, but the point is, she had a hand in this, just like Sarah, and also like Eve. So therefore, you must not despise, or let's say, underlook, or overlook, the contributions of your spouse into your marriage. Of course, Jacob had, you know, wives, three of them. And you now had Job and his foolish wife. You know, that's important to know that. So there, those are relationships we can see. We also had David and Michal. An interesting relationship as well. Initially, 1 Samuel 18, Michal practically saved David's life. 1 Samuel 18, I wish I had more time on this. But, you know, when his dad, which was Saul, wanted to kill David. Now, in 1 Samuel 18, first, Saul saw and knew that David, the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Okay? So, Michal got married to David. And look at 1 Samuel 19 and 11. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not your life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. Of course, when they got there, they found out it wasn't David. 17. Saul said to Michal, "Why did you deceive me and send away my enemy that has escaped?" Michal answered Saul, said unto me, "Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" And so, of course, she rescued him at that point. But look at 2 Samuel 6. At that point, obviously, she hadn't grappled with the fact that her dad wouldn't be king at some point, and David will be king. 2 Samuel 6, we have David now comes back with the Ark of the Covenant, then he's dancing and rejoicing. And in verse 16, he's leaping, and the Bible says, 2 Samuel 6, Michal despised him in her heart. Notice where she did it. In her heart. I said it earlier on. It doesn't matter where you do it. It's wrong. She despised him in her heart. Then in 20, look at what she said to him. "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." The reality of the fact that he is king just dawned on her. And David responded. David said, "Well, it was before the Lord who chose me before your father." So it was a case of her dad. You know, she's obviously wounded, emotionally hurt. The dad is no longer king. David is king. She didn't want to marry her father's successor. She wanted to just marry a nice guy who killed Goliath. But it now dawned on her, the father won't be king. David is king. "And before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel, therefore will I plead before the Lord. Yet will I be more vile than those, and will be base in my own sight, on the maidservants which have spoken of them, and shall I have honor." So you find the role of relationship there also. So you also have Priscilla and Aquila in scripture. Just a few relationships here and there. You find that relationship in Acts 18. And something important there, just look at this, Acts 18, the first thing we read about them, Acts 18, tie them up together shortly, Acts 18, and verse 1 through to 4. We have this, the Jews, Aquila, born in Pontus, verse 2, with his wife Priscilla, because, you know, they were, verse 3, of the same craft, which means they had business together. They also had ministry together. So you can look at that. It's never a perfect relationship. But the point is, they were able to do life together. Their craft was the same. Of course, their focus in life was the same. Their relationships were the same. They submitted to Paul together. This is a very, very wonderful model to look at. Romans 16, 3. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Paul calls them together. "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." Not, "Priscilla, please help me thank your husband Aquila." Or, "Aquila, please appreciate your wife Priscilla. She's such a support in this ministry." Ah, yeah, my wife is very committed to your ministry. I thank God for that. No, both of them were. They laid down their necks together. Now, this may not happen all the time, but it works fine. When both, you know, they have sex together, they do business together, I mean, they just do life together, and they do ministry together. 1 Corinthians 6, they live together, they emotionally together. 1 Corinthians 16, you find Paul mentioned them yet again in 19. They are so mentioned that you could see that there's something being said to us about relationship. We read Adam and Eve, we read Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and now we're reading Priscilla and Aquila. So therefore, I mustn't underplay the spiritual role my spouse will play in my life. Now watch it. If you get into a relationship and then your spiritual life goes downwards spirally, you must ask questions. It might not be the fault of your partner. It may just be your misordered priorities. Of course, the first time we ask ourselves out and we know we're going to marry, we want to spend a lot of time together, we'll go here together and all that. I even had a couple like that in school then. In church meetings, they hold their hands together in worship service and say, oh, we worship. They are not married today. It's all rubbish. How would I hold your hand to worship God? What does that mean? Was your hand pain? Maybe it's a healing service and I want your hand raised. But it doesn't make sense. So, you know, you look at the spiritual implication. Don't live on words. What impact do I have from you on my spiritual life? What impact do I have from you? Can I be comfortable with you not to obey God? Those are key things. If I'm comfortable with you not to obey God, then a greater problem lies ahead. Now, I don't want to focus on making choices of who to marry exactly here. That's not my focus in this series. Is what to decide before you say I do. If someone doesn't help you spiritually, as a brother in church, not that you're in the same fellowship or cell, but exemplary wise inspires you, forget it. It won't happen in marriage. And that's just what it is. I must find you good company, brother in Christ, a friend, so that those are key issues before I settle for a brother or a sister. Good company. And good company is not just always when we are trying to understand He's our God. Good company means good company. I mean, we're having a conversation, in 2 minutes it's gone. Not because your head is empty, but it appears so. Why are you laughing? You just go blank. Are you okay? Talk now. That's not really good company. Good company means good company. Okay? A brother or sister in Christ, you know, very cool. A fellow heir, the grace of God, and we are friends. A friend is someone that sticks closer than a brother. A friend is someone you share things with, yeah? And you help me keep my focus. So let me add this quickly. Unity, therefore, is important in marriage. So my spouse in marriage is a good company. My brother or sister in Christ, my friend. People have asked, should my wife be my best friend? Well, best friend is not a Bible term. Friend is friend. Other best friend thing. Who is the better friend? Just be a friend. At the end of life, you know who was the friend. A good friend. Be a friend. Someone that sticks closer than a brother. All this, let me be your best friend. You know, of course, that's how a lot of brothers start. And then you start asking questions about, how did you do your study group assignment? Have you finished? Are you the study group teacher? No, it's not. They're not bad. Parogelism things, they're not. It's just what happens, you know. I've told you some things we have done before. God forgives our sins. But it really doesn't matter. It's just what it is, you know. Then, who helps me keep my focus? Somebody who doesn't help me get committed in church is a no-no. It's a big no for me.
It should always be. So my unity of purpose is critical. That is, and let me go back to this again for those of us who are married, and those of us who are also going to get married. You have to know that you are in a learning process. Always know that one. Nobody, and somebody rightly said, he said, marriage is where you receive the certificate at the beginning. For something you have never done, you know. And when people start to congratulate married couples, I do it too because of tradition, but if you ask me what is in my heart, and when I join couples or I talk to them, I just want to wish them well. That congratulations is too early. They have not achieved anything. It doesn't take anything to go to Yaba and get married. Or is it Ikoyi? Just go there, talk to them. Two of you, 14 days, you get there. There's nothing. What are you congratulating them for? Oh, congratulations. Wow. You made it. Made what? They're just starting. A pastor told me this, that when he got married, the very first evening, they fought for 1 week. 1 week. There was one like that. He told me that they got married, so they were coming back from Ibadan, so to Lagos. So they now got into a taxi. They were wearing the white garment of the Son of God. It was the people around that separated them. On their wedding day, both of them are pastors. I told you, you are too rude. Why did I even marry you on the wedding day? I'm not saying. So when I asked the pastor guy, I said, well, Facebook, your photograph, because I saw the picture like that, they were 9-1 gates. And they were like, I look into your eyes, I see the future. So that was the day they thought the address at Ojodubega. See, who is that? You won't go, I won't go. On the wedding day. That's really for a latter ring. Anyway, so the key is sure that you get all those things right. Okay, top parties in relationships and marriages, friends' marriages. Right? The reason why you want to be like your friends in their marriage, because they are smarter than you. What do I mean by they're smarter than you? They don't tell you the hell that is in their own heaven. Try and put that in the brackets. Someday you understand it. Social media. I want to have a thing marriage. Destination marriages. You know? Like a friend rightly said one day, I'm not against this, please, and I shouldn't be quoted wrongly. Those who have the money can do it. But when you propose in Paris, you got married, you did reception in London, you did engagement in London, you did courtway in America, you did a bridal shower in Dubai, and you now went to South Africa for photo shoot. What does that tell you about a journey? Generally, you are just pleasing the audience. You are entertaining people. That's what you are doing. Wasting time on something that should have happened in 30 minutes. Abby? How long does this take to say I do? I. You say the I in Dubai. You know? In Paris. So Johannesburg. In New York. Done. Just say simply, I do. Done. So simple. Social media can get you into trouble. You get it? Of course, movies. I told you, if you put your life in movies, you also be an actor. Don't introduce pornography to your mind. Sometimes there was a time like that I sat with couples and we talked about their sexual life. And I discovered that when the woman was talking about the man, and I asked the woman, how did you know this standard you are giving him. Of course, she came with something. She came with a standard of what she shouldn't have come with. And of course, had read pornography, had seen things, and that became a standard. That can be a third party. Family and friends. Family and friends should just remain what they are, family and friends. Past relationships can be third parties. You begin to see your wife in the eyes of your ex. Ex something, ex this one, ex that one. If it were Bobby on Valentine's Day, I would normally wake up with trumpet. Somebody will be playing. You are the need to come. You are the need to come. But you, the first thing you sent me was Tony Group assignment. What kind of nonsense is that? On Valentine's Day. You know. So you have past relationships. If you want to go back to the former guy, please go. Right, just go there. Just pack yourself and go. You're with someone. You're married to someone. Stay there. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. All things should pass away. That includes people. That's my version. So let's say safe parties. Parties that are safe. Well, family and friends who are fellow believers who have the same persuasion as you. Do not take your matter to someone who doesn't have the same persuasion or conversations at all. And to your pastors, if you come to me for counseling on marital issues, you should know what I normally will say. I normally just say, two of you should just talk. I've seen things sorted out in the easiest of ways. The other day, did I say this one last week? There were a couple that they were trying to have a child. Then the marriage was going sexless. That's it last week. That they were just complaining, oh, I don't know what the problem was. It was in my house, so I locked them in a room to do the do. They came out smiling. That was the Spirit of God. And they had a child. I'm telling you. I just saw the wife complain. I just said, I couldn't see sense in what she was saying. Because I just said, I know what their problem is. All right. Both of you come to the holiest of all and do God's will. And all the stress just came down. I remember they told me one story one day. And there was this couple, they came to him and they were just complaining. He looked at them. Sometimes you know what the problem is. He just looked at them for a while. He said he wondered. He didn't see any sense. You know, when things are sense, you know, there's something else they are not talking about. I said, that day, he put the kettle on the fire. Should he have put the fire on the kettle? He said he just left them. When he said, 200,000. Put it on the table. That's for you. Then he walked out. So by the time he came back, they were already talking. Hey, so we'll buy. Some things are simple. When you start praying, you are wasting your time. I'm telling you. There was a couple like that. I sat down. I asked them questions. I saw that, the way they were at, no, you should have had sex at this time. They didn't know. Both of them, emoji. I said, it's this and this. That was it. Mama. I know, you won't expect Sarah to tell you that. Or Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay. All right, so, fellow believers who got the Spirit of God, okay, will help you, they'll guide you, correct you, and also comfort you. So those are key things, fellow believers. Your pastors are critical. I always say this, of course, people always argue against this. I don't have a problem with that. That don't take marital issues to parents. Parents are always going to be on one side. I told my wife this years back, I said, if you go and tell my mom will support me. She's not your mother. Let that sink in. She's not your mother. She's my mother. Uh-huh. So the best thing is talk to me. Of course, we never had any reason for that anyway. But that was the very age. He says, talk to me. I'm not difficult to talk to. I can be... I just know about myself that I like to be convinced. I'm a believer. You have to convince me. I don't like stupid ideas.
I can just nod my head and I just say, just go. You know, my dad had to call me one day and he had to say, I noticed that. And he helped me in pastoring. He said, I just noticed that you dismissed the guy easily. I said, why? He said, I saw it in your eyes that the guy wasn't making sense the way you were looking at him. I said, I'm your dad now. I know you. I was looking at a girl like this. And the guy talked. I said, okay, we'll talk about it later. That means you go away. So he now gave me a story like that. And it helped me. This was years ago in pastoring. I said, learn to listen to people. You know. But the point is, I mean, naturally, when you take this to friends who are, and usually before it gets to friends and pastors, it should have been so bad. See, look at me. One of the good things about your husband and wife is that you should be good fighting partner, not physical. You should know how to fight and make up. It's part of marriage. You must know how to fight and make up. Not, don't misquote me. I'm going to bring out Amorogun tonight and say I didn't do it. That's not what I'm saying. How to fight. You know, you now fight. And then you now say, and he's not calling me. You know, that's part of the good part of the fight. He hasn't called me 2 hours, 3 hours. Then you now send the text. Is that why you have not called me? You know, it's all allowed. That's not strife yet. That's just love patterns. Quote me. So those are normal things. You disagree over issues, agree later, and all of that. One thing that can be painful for me is for you to support Chelsea. No, I can't take that. And I'm not joking about that. You cannot support Chelsea. It's a major issue for me. So what are you doing, alright? Is this a premarital relationship? Or you are scoping yourselves? Is there enough commitment? Am I growing with this? We'll look at this the next time. We'll talk about when kids come into marriage, usually a distraction. We'll talk about that too. Like I said, kids are usually not mentioned when they talk about the marital couples and their submission and fellowship and relationship. It's usually not a factor, but they come in. So therefore, we must be ready for what it entails. What does relationships, marital relationships, what does it bring in? It's meant to bind you, bond you, and put two things there. Bind you, bond you, and blind you. Which means there are things you will not see anymore. Love is not blind before you enter it. But when you enter, it becomes blind. So it's meant to blind you, bond you, and bind you, of course, positively to the glory of God. And that's why sex does that a lot. It gets people unnecessarily emotionally bonded, you know, while the commitment is not yet made. So you should, therefore, be ready for a commitment. A commitment, a journey, we said, is not a destination. You're not going somewhere, you know. You are not setting timelines. No. It's just good times and bad times, you know, and some things can happen. I don't want to scare you. That will just require that commitment. Some unsavory things, you know, can happen. So therefore, a woman and a man of faith, that they believe God's word, they can put out their faith in God's word. I can't stay around a woman, even if I'm a man who doesn't have a faith life, you know, where we can just say we believe God. I want to hear things like we trust God. And it's not, you say we trust God and say, check us out. After I say we trust God, I'm saying let's just believe God. Because we are going to face trials of life. I'm going to face some personal, because it's a marriage. Anything I face becomes what you face. Anything you face becomes what I face. We're going to, you know, look at it together. There was a couple like that I saw too. And I sat down with them, the pastors as well. And the blame game that they was, I was just listening. You know, and that was a place of discernment for me that day. I was listening, I have people around, but I just listened. And the husband would talk. They had fought themselves in the public place. They had done stuff. I just listened. So as I listened, at that point I knew there was something they were not saying. You know, in fact, one had said they are going for divorce, they are going to file papers, they are going to do all those stories. So I just said, there was something they didn't say. So I just, as I picked it in my heart, I just sensed what it was. As I say pick, I don't use the word pick actually. As I sensed it, I just mentioned it. And they both looked at me. And they looked down at the same time. They said, you just hit the nail on the head. I said, yeah, because I saw God show me what the problem was. So I had to comfort them. And that's good in marriage counseling. Don't just use wisdom, healthy wisdom. I just counseled them. And we prayed together. And, you know, married people are interested. They fought themselves. They had done everything. Fought. The next thing they texted me was that the woman was pregnant. We thank the Lord. But the point was, by the time we solved that problem, so the problem they couldn't say, because they were pastors, they couldn't exactly tell the world what the problem was. So, you know, pastors are meant to be superheroes. So, they couldn't say what the problem was. But I saw it. So when I was going, some of the folks that were in the car said, how did you, I said, God just showed me. And I saw what it was. We had spoken for almost 3 or 4 hours. And we were back and forth. I was just listening. Because I've learned to listen to couples. It will take you a while to make sense of what they are really saying. You would have to listen well. So, you know, and that can happen. So basically, we'll continue from there. But the thing is, it's a long life commitment. It's a journey. It's not a destination. So a lot of things are going to come in, a lot of subplots, you know, and we should be ready for it. You blessed? Are you blessed?